like that. Thank you, men. All right, let's turn our Bibles this evening to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And read a couple of verses here. It's our theme verses for this year. And, you know, it's we really live in a world where, you know, some days you just have to endure, don't you? And we're increasingly living in a time where there's many reasons we can feel a little apprehensive about just the things going on. You know, we live in a hyper-connected society. We're just, you know, in the absence of sometimes real relationships, there's just the hyper-connectivity of today. You have all the technology, all the social media, and it just seems like you can't really turn it off. And you're constantly bombarded with updates and, you know, news that just comes to your devices, and you can see why there's a lot of reasons why you can feel a bit apprehensive. You know, there's economic uncertainty, and we all are holding our breath a little bit with what's to come and some of the things happening globally with different currencies and so forth, and a bit of a shift in power a little bit into those different countries that are now seeming to command our attention. And you could look at that and you could see, paired with that in Western society, societal upheaval with just really a lot of the postmodern type of mindsets that are coming in, and it's becoming normalized. It's becoming where even those in the church are becoming a little desensitized to it. And a lot of the agendas of those who want to turn society upside down. Confusion reigns in our schools, in our children, and all of that is just the work of the devil trying to get into this end time economy. You know, we have Christianity that's suffering a bit of an identity crisis. What do we do now in our society today? Where do we fit? Are we accepted? All of that. And you know, sometimes the questions that come to our doorsteps and come to mind just were never things that we wondered about back in the day. And that's the world we live in. We live in confusing times. We live in times where there just seems to be a lot of things that we can be apprehensive about. We have even things like housing shortages and housing unaffordability, and we're all concerned about that. And we're all concerned about, you know, if the Lord tarries, he's coming, where are my children going to live? How are they going to even, you know, survive in this kind of time that we live in? And all of these things, if you see a little bit of the trend of today, there's an uptick of sort of that dystopian end days theme, movies and media. There's a resurgence of the doom and gloom literature, both classic and contemporary. All of that is all on trend now. And what I'm saying is all of this is adding to that psyche of anxiety, that psyche of apprehension about the future. And we're seeing that today. We're seeing this at times leading to a sense of hopelessness in our society. And even Christians, I think, are maybe wondering, as we minister, what's the point? And we see all of this, and the balance for us as believers is that we're meant to not deny these and not bury our heads in the sand, but we're to look at this and still be hope builders in a world that's quickly losing hope in the confusion and negativity of the age. That's the reality of it. We live in these times, and whilst we can't just deny the challenges on hand, we've also got to be the people who have joy and peace amid the storm. And at times, this has led us to believe that we're the age that has an excuse. We can say, well, there's all these reasons to be anxious and these reasons to be apprehensive. And look at all that what's happening, and how can we make a difference? How can we have any kind of impact in our society today? How can we live as Christians today? And the answer really comes from Scripture, doesn't it? And an answer comes from, I think, just several things that really add up to us enduring through this apprehensive world. And tonight, I just want to remind you, nothing really new tonight. I just want to go through some familiar scriptures with you and just help remind you that we can have endurance during a time of apprehension. We can endure. We can go through this and have a better mindset about things. And I hope that we would just glean from it this evening. But Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And notice this, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Father, thank you, Lord, again for your goodness and grace. I pray that you'd please help us this evening. Lord, I know, dear God, that there's so much that bombards our minds and our hearts today. And Father, there's many things that we can allow into our lives that can so often hinder us and often, Lord, weigh us down. And we can feel apprehensive, we can feel anxious, and we can feel a little bit disoriented about the time. And yet, Lord, I believe that you've got, Lord, a work for us to do. And I'm glad for your scriptures that reminds us and grounds us on truth, that helps us, dear God, to overcome. And I pray that you'd help us even tonight to learn some things and perhaps really more accurately be reminded about some things that can help us, Lord, as we journey on for you. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see here just a familiar passage of Scripture. It's the great picture of the race of the Christian life. And we understand that this whole picture here of a race isn't, as we know, it's not a sprint. It's an endurance race. And aptly, the Bible reminds us that these things are to be considered lest we're wearied and faint in our minds. And there's a lot of Christians in that mindset today. There's a lot of those who they look at the doom and gloom of the media. They look at the seeming prosperity of the wicked. And they're looking at all of that. And it just seems to be this inevitable tide of things that are coming. And we're looking at that going, well, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to overcome and endure these kind of things? And the Bible's going to remind us about a couple of things that help us endure this evening. And I hope that will be a help to you. Firstly, in verse 1, we see that there's encouragement. Okay, encouragement. In verse 1, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, again, put it in the context of this great book of the Bible. Verse 11, we just speak about the great chapter of faith. And there's all these personalities that God brings there, and he reminds us over and over again in the ordinariliness of them, the changing factor and the determining factor in their lives was just this: by faith, by faith, by faith. And he's trying to draw our attention to this great cloud of witnesses and there to be an encouragement to us. You know, often when we're feeling overwhelmed, we have to refocus ourselves to ensure we won't be overcome. And we've got to remind ourselves about the encouragement we can draw from the great cloud of witnesses. That whole idea of the great cloud of witnesses is like a running into a full stadium. You know, I don't know if anyone's ever had that opportunity. Maybe you played a grand final and you're running in there and you hear the noise of the crowd. I remember the closing ceremony of the Sydney Olympics and being part of that, and just the electrifying nature of 100,000 people in a stadium. Just the cheer and the sense that you got of something that so really earthly mattered. And yet you think about those that have gone before us, those who are a part of that great cloud of witnesses that really surround us and really put a great understanding that, you know, there are those who have gone before and endured as well. And there's an encouragement there that we're supposed to glean from that. And I think sometimes we get so detached with the reality of that, It reminds me of the story in 2 Kings about Elisha, how he was there with a young man, and they were just in a place, and Elisha was praying, and we see that suddenly a great host surrounds them, and the young man comes running back in and says, "What do we do, Father?" he says to Elisha. And he didn't know, but Elisha prays and says, "Lord, open his eyes." And this young man, his eyes get open and he looks, and a great host of heaven surrounds the host that is meant to be attacking them. And imagine the great comfort of that. And sometimes with eyes of faith, we need to understand that whilst we have our own challenges in our time today, there are those who've gone before who are part of that great cloud of witnesses who endured their time as well, who actually is still very real today and still very real in their endurance. We need some encouragement from this. There are those who have gone before and endured. Okay, we have those in the Bible. We can go back to even this list here in Hebrews chapter 11, and we can look at some of these major characters of the Bible and understand and glean in the very pages of Scripture the very stories and the very histories and the very narratives that's meant to add hope to our learning. It's an encouragement. You know, it's an encouragement to see how Daniel perhaps went through in captivity and in a place and a time where his faith was in opposition to the rest of the nation. And yet here he was praying 3 times a day. There he was being elevated in a secular world and God putting favor in his life and then revealing such great things that are still yet to be. And you think about Daniel and you think about these great stories that sometimes we can relegate to children's stories, and yet the reality of them is meant to form some sort of encouragement in our lives. There are those who have endured before. There are those who have endured in the pages of history. You know, I was reminded again this week of those that have sacrificed from an earthly perspective. We're about to celebrate Anzac Day, and one of the most somber days in our calendar. It really forms a bit of an identity of our nation, and that idea of mateship and that idea of sacrifice and all of that. And we're going to sit around, and so for some of us, we're going to get up on that Tuesday morning and we're going to go to dawn service to remember them. But you know, there's many others who, from a Christian point of view, played a great role and paid a great sacrifice so you and I can have the Word of God. You and I can have the freedom of worshiping the Lord even in this time in 2023. And we can glean from those. Someone was mentioning this week that they had just started reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. And boy, I'm telling you, if you want to be convicted about enduring and be encouraged by the fact that there were those who stood for the faith that's once delivered to the saints like we are today, then Fox's Book of Martyrs, that'd be a good start. You can read about all of those who paid with their lives. And you know, if you're blessed enough that you could head over to England and different places, that these different men like John Huss, who was burnt at the stake for his faith, just because he didn't want to stand for those who were just in opposition to the reality of the gospel and the Word of God. And you read about that, and you can visit those places. There's a monument in Sydney, and I was going to cover it today at our starting point class. I didn't get to it, but there's a monument in Sydney there on the corner of Bridge Street and another street, I can't remember right now, but it's one of my favorite places right there near the Circular Quay in Sydney. But it's a monument there of the first church built in Australia by Reverend Richard Johnson, who was a gospel preacher on the First Fleet. And he's got those verses there, that what shall I render unto the Lord for the benefits he's given us. And we understand again just the sacrifice of those and the heart of those to want to ensure that the gospel continued. And here we are living in 2023 with all the conveniences, and we're enduring our part of the race. And we're supposed to glean encouragement from those who have gone before and endured. You know, there's are also those elsewhere that have endured. You know, we have those in different countries. We have those that in China today will get up and they'll have a time where they're going to go to church, but they're not going to go to church like you and I. They're going to go to what we would call the underground church because for fear of actual persecution and for fear of the fact that if the government finds out they're meeting, they're going to pay for their lives. And you understand some of that, we conceptualize that a little bit and we don't really understand the reality of that, but that's real. You know, I love watching videos. I'm part of a few chat groups on WhatsApp about different missionaries all around the world, and I've just been added to one in Malawi. And there's a group there that a friend of mine, his brother is over there, and there's mission work there. And they sent a video this morning of them singing Victory in Jesus to this crowd of people that are gathered. And just the reality of that and the reality of Victory in Jesus in their context is so much different to the reality of Victory of Jesus in our context. And just the weeping. You know, it just makes me, it moves me when I see videos posted and sent where Christians for the first time in their lives get a copy of the Word of God. And here we are, sometimes we have one for home, we have one for church, sometimes we even get a pew Bible. Not mentioning any names over there, but you know, sometimes we go and we do those, we have an abundance is what I'm saying, and we're to get encouragement from those who just endure. They endure through their lot in life and they endure faithfully. You ever go to the field and you realize how much more spiritual they are than you are? They're there in their limited resources and their limitations. They come with great joy. They sacrifice, they labor. There are those who are in different localities, even here in our great country. I love seeing just reports of different churches all around our nation. It encourages me about the fact that there are those perhaps who don't have the facilities like we do. They don't have the things that we have added on to the work of the Lord. And here they are gathering, singing the same songs and preaching from the same Bible. And there's still those that are being a witness and being a light in different places. And I'm glad for that. And they're meant to be part of this great cloud of witnesses that we look at and we go, you know, they're enduring. Let's glean some encouragement from them. There are those around us who have endured. There are those that right here in this church, they've got a story to tell. And by the way, if I can put a plug in, I know it's Sunday night, but you know, it's good to be in church, isn't it? It's just good. You know, one of the traps of the devil to discourage you in a time where there's already apprehension and anxiety is to distance you away from your local church, is to put you away and make you feel like you don't need to go. And actually, it's needful for us to gather. You know, I think we live in such an individualistic society at times that we forget that actually the Bible is written to groups of people. That actually when you read the Bible, you're meant to at times read it from a group point of view. That we're meant to belong to a body. That we are at our best when we are gathering and we are assembling and we are serving together. And at times the encouragement we need is the person that's just on the same pew as us. That just the fact that they, through what they went through this week or what they've been through in their lives, are still here, still faithful, still coming, still have a joy, still have a passion, still want to go on for the Lord. And man, that encourages me. You know, it puts perspective to the anxieties that sometimes I feel. It puts perspective to those apprehensions that I bring before the Lord, and I'm reminded over and over again by the Lord of those who have just stayed at it, have endured. And so the first thing I want you to note is encouragement. You need encouragement. See that you're not alone in this. All right, but then the next thing, notice what he says. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice the next thing he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, the next thing we're going to need to do if we're going to endure is not only find encouragement, we're not alone, but we can evaluate. And evaluate, see the load you're carrying. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That word beset means to entangle. It means to trip up. You know, the world wants to entangle us. It wants to trip us up with all of the cares of this world. It wants to trip us up with all of the burdens that we can face each day that bombards us. And yet the Bible tells us in Galatians 5:1 to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us. And he says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, God saved us out of bondage, out of that entanglement. Listen, this world definitely has its tribulations and its burdens, but he's overcome the world. He's given us peace. And we're supposed to have, in our position in Christ, we're meant to have the ability to lay aside those weights and those sins. In 2 Timothy 2:4, the Bible tells us, no man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, our lot in life is to fight this warfare. And he's saying we're not supposed to be entangled with affairs of this life. You know, I think sometimes a worrying thing at times with Christianity is to get too tangled up with everything that's under the sun, every conspiracy, every little thing that... And instead of consuming their mind with the things of heaven, with the Word of God, they're consumed with even conservative media. They've replaced the Bible with other information, and that's the thing that sets the tone for them for that week. And I'm not saying be uninformed. I'm saying be informed, but put it in the context of who we are in Christ. Put it in that context. Hey, fill your mind with the Word. Lay aside every weight. Because I think some of the worries and concerns that we have, they're just weights. We don't have to bear them. We can just lay them aside. We can think on good things. We can realize that actually God, who is sovereign over all, is sovereign over that as well. That actually in all of it, even though those things are real and we don't deny them, there's very real things to be apprehensive about in this world today. We actually have the power in Christ to just lay them aside. That we're meant to unburden ourselves with the affairs of this life, or to not to be entangled by it. In 2 Peter 2:20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. He's saying, you know, now we approach with eyes wide open and the reality, and sometimes we can become overburdened. Why? Because we've entangled ourselves again. You know, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. And we have the captain of our salvation, who actually has given us the mind of peace and joy. And whilst those things, there's some things that ought to bother us as believers, actually we have the great burden bearer, and we can lay aside those weights. But you know, sometimes it's just this, that we live in such a world that the entanglement and the besetting thing of sin is very real. Now, don't get me wrong, this evening we understand as well that once we're saved, those sins are paid for, right? There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But you know, sometimes we carry those and we allow sins to enter into our lives once again. And we don't have that regular appointment of confession and getting clarity between us and the Lord. We take it for granted that we're a little better in our minds. We're better than the world. And sometimes we can just look at that and go in pride. I think like there's nothing that really we ought to get right. And yet we're meant to be observant. Listen, the reason why the Bible tells us to quench not the Spirit and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, it's because we're prone to it. It's because the reality is we still have this sinful nature that we have to contend with. And from time to time, we've just got to lay aside not just the weights, they're not necessarily sinful, but actually you just need to lay aside the sin as well. And those, the sin of pride, the sin of arrogance, the sin of of covetousness, the sin of idolatry that is just deep in our hearts at times. And we've got to deal with that before a holy God who sometimes the weight that he wants us to put away is actually sin that's weighing us down. We're no longer sensitive to the working. And suddenly, instead of having a burden bearer, we're so distanced from the one that bears our burdens. And we're powerless. And we no longer, we're overwhelmed by this world. Why? Why, Christian? Maybe there's a sin that you just need to lay aside and let God deal with that. You know, can I remind you, there's things that are unnecessary for us to carry. It is unnecessary to worry and be concerned when we have a God who's sovereign. It's unnecessary to struggle and allow sin to run free because that's been overcome, that's been paid for. You're freed from sin. You're forgiven of sin. And you get to reckon yourself dead unto sin. And we're supposed to guard our hearts. And, you know, the Bible's saying, evaluate. Get back in the Psalm, search me, O God. That's a good habit. You know, it's search me, O God. You know, my preacher who is dear to me, he was the one that was preaching, Brother Charlie Clark. He just made it a habit just every time there was preaching, he just came to the altar. And it wasn't just doing it just to be sure. He said, you know, there's always a reason to come to the altar. And if there's no reason, I come to the altar to ask God why there's no reason. So why don't you touch my heart, Lord? You know, another great book you could read about David Brainerd and some of his contemplations about, you know, this young life who was a missionary to the American Indians. And if you read through his diary, I can't read any longer than one entry of his diary. He just would allow God's spirit to evaluate him to the nth degree, and it was painful to read because it's convicting. And you know, we go day in, day out, and we're not laying aside weights, and we're being overburdened. This world of apprehension and anxiety and all of that, and plus on top of that, sometimes just that, those things that we can lay aside. And so we need to evaluate. But then notice the next thing. Again, in verse 1, he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's the next thing. If we're going to endure, we need to estimate. And what that is, you need to see what's ahead. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, the problem at times is we get bogged down in the moment. And we stop, we become short-sighted in our Christianity. You know, one of the key things when they teach you in running, and I was in cross-country for a little while there, and one of the things they tell you when you're running is don't look behind you. Always look ahead. Look what's ahead of you. And they said, you know, you when you start turning around, you're starting to worry about things that you can't control. And they're saying you just need to run ahead. And, you know, sometimes in life we get so bogged down in the moment, we forget that there's a race that's set before us. There's things ahead of us still. There's still things that God would have us to step into and then journey in. And don't get bogged down and stop in the race. And I'm saying, if I can encourage you, estimate, there's things ahead. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. Go ahead, experience, see the joy. And you know what I'm saying? What's ahead isn't here. If we get bogged down in just the here and now, we'll never see what's ahead. You know, it's like that Robert Frost poem, two roads diverge in a yellow wood, and sorry I couldn't travel both, but be one traveler long I stood. And he looked at the two paths and he just sat there and wondered which one. And you know, sometimes we get bogged down in what's surrounding us and the choices we need to make, that sometimes all we have to do is just take a step and look ahead and estimate the fact that, you know, we have a God who actually is in the future. We have a God who's all about bringing us to tomorrow. And what God has brought you through, He can bring you through. And I love the verse in Psalm 37, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And you know, maybe you're in a situation right now where it's requiring a lot of endurance. But I want to tell you, estimate what's ahead. Look what's ahead. Look what can be. Look at the fact that if you just continue to be faithful to the Lord and continue to trust Him in this, look what He can get you through. And understand, just estimate that you know, actually, in the race, there's a prize to be won. And that prize is worth it. You know, that's why Paul said, you know, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's why he said, you know, brethren, I've not apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark. And the attitude was forward. The attitude was to look ahead and to estimate that there's a prize, there's a crown for enduring the race. In James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And you know, one of the things I was bringing out in our time there at camp, at the campfire, and trying to encourage some of those who were sitting around, some of the leaders who were seeing what we were seeing, young people weeping, young people committing themselves to the Lord and understanding right there, just at that moment, just the need to just want to be with God. And one of the things I brought out as I sat with the leaders, some who've been there just a little while, some who've been there just like the Barneses. Last week we talked about they've been there 9 years. Here's the point I was making to them. I said, you can't see things for the Lord without longevity. If you're just in it for the short term, if you're in it for the fleeting, you know, the fleeting feelings and the fleeting moments and all of that, you're not going to last very long. Because the race is like this. It's up and down. And you're going to have to look ahead and estimate the fact that, you know, as you go through this hard time, you're going to also come through it and God's going to bring you through it. And God's going to bring you to a better plane. And God's going to allow you to sail through at times storms along the way. And by the way, He's never without you. You're never without Him in a storm. And He's never too far. He's always at hand. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He's right there with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And God is there. But you can estimate and look ahead. And if you're going to endure, you're going to need to have a mindset of forward, right? Just take the next step. Just take the next hill. Just go through this valley a little bit and you're going to eventually get there. And we're going to need to estimate to see what's ahead. That's part of it. But then lastly, and really quickly, notice in verse 2, we're to look unto Jesus. And here's the last thing. Sometimes the way you're going to endure through this time of apprehension is simply just to emulate. You know, we have a great example. And here we need to see our Savior's example. He says, looking unto Jesus. And then he says in verse 3, for consider him that endured. You know, one of the greatest motivations for us is to be like Jesus. You know, he was all about his mission. He was all about the fact that he had a mission to fulfill. He wasn't fooled away into thinking that, you know, that those times where he was approached by some who hailed him to take on the Roman rule of the day. He wasn't forced into the kingship at times. There were times where he just went away from that. There were times where he was weary and he was tired and he took himself far away to just recuperate in humanity. We understand that he endured such contradiction for sinners against himself. And, you know, we've just had the time in Easter and we've been reminded again of the things that he went through in the cross and those things that really, when you read through it, ought to break your heart for the things that our Lord and Savior had to go through for you, for me, for the sins of this world. And you recognize all of that and you understand He endured. He went through that. Why? For the joy. You know what he saw? He saw you and I. He saw you and I in our broken lives being restored by his sacrifice. He saw those that one day will come to one gathering place, and every tongue and every nation and every tribe is going to sing, worthy, worthy. And they're going to sing, holy, holy to God. And he saw that and he endured. You know, we need to emulate. We need to emulate, and by just looking and seeing our Savior. You know, the beauty of our race is that in finishing, you're winning. Why? Because your Savior already paved the way. It's not about coming first. It's about finishing your race. You know, faithfulness comes when we endure all of the anxiety and apprehension of the moment for the anticipation of the reward. And the greatest reason for faithfulness and endurance is really the example that we have in Jesus. Notice some contrasts about him. Firstly, he's the author and finisher. You know, he's the initiator of our faith. He is the one working of our faith, and he's the completer of our faith. In him we can trust with all faith, knowing that he's the one from start to finish. Notice this, he's also the joy. There was joy and endurance. It's another contrast. You know, sometimes we don't see those two things together. But at times, we for the joy endure the cross. What is the joy that you're driving towards? It's the Savior. It's understanding that you are pleasing him. That's why he said that we might please him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. That's why at times when we go through the battles of life and we go through and we start to think about our Savior, start to think about what he did for you and I, then there's a joy there in meeting him one day. And so you endure what you endure. His endurance was motivated by the joy in others. And you know, so much of what God allows us to go through is for the sake of others, isn't it? And so we bear one another's burdens and we fulfill the law of Christ. But joy and endurance, here's another contrast, suffering and glory. He said, despising the shame, and he's set down at the right hand of God. You know, that's a place of honor. It's a place of glory. And Jesus' suffering resulted in his honoring. You know, that's the thing. Sometimes we look at those who, from an earthly perspective, have achieved greatly, and we want that. But what we didn't see is the suffering they went through. We didn't see the 4 a.m. wake-up calls when, you know, they had to run those distances or swim those distances. We didn't see the diet that they had to go through. Right? We just want that. We want the glory, but often the suffering comes with it too. And so it's suffering and glory, he says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I'm saying is our momentary suffering leads to eternal weight of glory. The lightness of the moment ought to be outdone by the weightiness of eternity. And so suffering and glory. But then the last one is consideration and comfort. He's saying consider him. You know, consider him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When we look to Jesus, our hearts ought to be stirred to press on. It ought to stir our hearts to know that our Savior, all through all of that, and as we consider him, we can't help but consider his suffering. We can't help but consider the contradiction of sinners against himself. We can't help but consider all of that, and through all of that, there's a great comfort. Why? Because he's the author and finisher. He endured for you and I. And in all of that, our anxiety, our apprehension, and all our worry is replaced by comfort in the one that went through that victoriously. And so tonight, we're thinking about endurance in an apprehensive world. We're thinking about how do we come through this time. Then, you know, God's provided us some encouragement. That great cloud of witnesses, see that you're not alone. You know, maybe it's just a time of evaluation. See the load you're carrying. Maybe there's some unnecessary worries and cares that you've put on. Maybe there's some sin in your life that you've not dealt with that is weighing you down. And then adding to the on top of that the those things that you can be anxious about, you know, we just need to estimate, see what's ahead, and then lastly and really importantly, we need to look to God. We need to emulate our Savior and realize that He endured, and He's given us the power to endure as well. And so I hope that we come into the week, and yes, I'm sure your phones will all burst with all reasons to be anxious, but we have great reasons to endure. And we have great reasons to know that we'll get past it, and at the end of it, will be God's glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. You're so good to us, dear God. You equip us. You, Lord, you put in your word the very things that we need to, Lord, even at times go into this survival mode to just get through. But then, Lord, with great joy, knowing, dear God, that, Lord, our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, He endured first. And I'm thankful that because of that, many others, this great cloud of witnesses, by faith, they were able to endure. And Lord, we have all we need, Lord, to move past our anxiety, move past our apprehension. And Lord, approach each day with great victory and joy as we endure for you. And so we love you, Lord. We pray for your blessing this week. In Jesus' most precious, holy, wonderful name. Amen.